Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media Station, ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Nick's out. Depending on which doctor's report you believe, he'll be out the rest of the week.
He got AIDS. Well, Nick got AIDS, and he's out for 2 days.
I'm not sure that was a doctor's report. Well, but early speculation has it running the gamut.
He got the HIV.
He's
what are you going to do?
He's out the rest of the week, so we appreciate Jerry Bowe spending some time filling in the studio. And, of course, Delvin Diesel, which is not his name. Del Olale. Keeping us on the ones and twos here at Twin Peaks. I-10 and Kirkwood, we appreciate Dell.
This is the most I've ever hung out with Dell. No, that's not true. We did the taste, the steak place thing, Dell. When I sat next to you, yeah, and yep. You were very, very particular, very picky. No, that was you. No.
Don't try to put that hate on me.
It wasn't me. Yeah. I think it was you.
No, he's the one.
Oh, he's always.
No, he's the one that did everything well done.
Yep.
And AJ made fun of him. Oh, but you and I sat next to each other, right?
I wasn't particular.
I feel like
you're making that up. I hate everything they put in front of me, except for the mushrooms. I don't like mushrooms.
Yeah, see? Well,
sorry.
I feel like
that
was more
than
that. No.
And I don't drink, so that was the other thing.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not a lush. I apologize.
Oh, God. How are you even allowed on the air with Granato and you don't drink? That doesn't make any sense.
He makes up for it. Whatever Dell doesn't do, Granato does.
Yeah, why? He doesn't need me taking his Coors Lights.
By the way, speaking of that, somebody texted the show and said, Barry, Joel, get y'all's livers ready for tomorrow. I got shots coming your way. No, I don't think so. Turns out now I'm on call for Billy Gardell's show.
Really?
Not drinking now.
I just give Billy a lot of props because he's going to take a ride all the way out there. And then go all the way back.
Yes.
What is that that you really like keeping in your hand right now?
Shout out to Crystal Collins. She just got back from a long trip to is it Bali or Bali?
Either way, you got it.
Is it Bali?
I would say
B-A-L-I. I don't know. I should have asked her. But she brought us koozies.
Yep.
But since she likes me more.
Yep.
She brought me a little something extra.
Let's
a
just
bottle
determine
opener.
How much more she likes you based on you telling everybody what she brought you.
It's a bedazzled bottle opener penis. That's what it is.
Yep.
It's even got testicles, which is a little more than I needed.
Oh, you sure?
I didn't need this much realism and veins. I don't. Oh, that's just the. That's not a vein.
But you are feeling it an awful lot. Running it through your fingers. You're not getting that.
It's not a real penis, Joel. I know you know how to handle this.
Really? Really? Because you're doing some work with it with your fingers to act like you've been there, done that.
But she brought me a penis bottle opener that's bedazzled. It's
the
also
fact that a woman brought you that might be sending a message you don't want the listeners to
did
know.
You model this? Is this like your version? You know how the porn stars put out their own versions of the fleshlight? Is this your version? Did you model this?
No.
This is definitely a white guy bottle opener.
You keep just throwing it up in the air and like you don't care, just dangling it all out there.
This is definitely a white guy bottle opener for sure, though.
Jordan, this is a picture for the website right here. This is Barry with the whole world in his hands.
Yeah, a penis bottle opener. Crystal Collins brought it. It'll probably be something that I give to the missus. Hey, you see what I did there? Watch out.
Sorry, yeah. Tommy Lee's penis wasn't available in the dirt, but I got you this as a consolation prize.
This is definitely – this bottle opener has been swimming. This bottle opener
– You never know how long she was in Bali.
This bottle opener is cold. This bottle opener – but come by the Twin Peaks and see
scenic views.
See my penis bottle opener that Crystal Collins for some reason felt like I needed one.
You think
she's so awesome though?
You think she regifted?
She's just outstanding. She's great.
You think she regifted? Based on how boring Bali was.
You are so.
I mean, I'm just asking a question.
You are so disgusting.
Like
you don't do that in the hotel when you travel. Get out of here.
What are you talking about? I'm not using that thing that you got there.
You're not supposed to peg yourself, Joel.
Jeez. All right, so we've got a lot to get to. By the end of the show, we'll probably do our MLB predictions for the year. Got that to get to. We can kind of get into a little bit of the Sweet 16 tonight. Obviously, the most important game is the last game tomorrow night. It is the Cougars of University of Houston and the Kentucky Wildcats. That's a big one. Of course, the big thing is whether it's P.J. Washington plays or not. But if Washington plays for Kentucky, they're a different team.
Yep.
If he does not play, advantage Cougs, and it should be an interesting game either way. So that should be fun to watch. With baseball going on, too, we didn't get to it yesterday, and I wanted to bring it up to you for a very specific reason. Jacob deGrom finally got his extension done with the New York Mets. It's 5 years, $137.5 million. Seems to be more than fair for a guy that arguably is one of the top three or four pitchers in baseball. Obviously, with a really bad team last year, still won the Cy Young. Record was not important when you saw how dominant he could be. But the reason why I bring it up is because I wrote the article about it. Is Gerrit Cole next in line? If he is and you've wrapped up Verlander, are you okay with giving Gerrit Cole 5 years and 137 and a half?
Ooh, what? How much is that a year? That's a little less than 30 for sure.
Right, right.
So you're just saying, would I give him DeGrom money?
Yeah.
To Gerrit Cole?
Uh-huh. It's about 29 a year.
Yeah. He's everyone's pick for Cy Young this year. He is the odds-on favorite Cy Young. I just don't know about that. He's had one outstanding year.
See, that's
year,
my thing. You don't doubt the ability, the velocity.
Right.
The fact that as a bigger guy, you think he should have the endurance. But he doesn't have the resume of a Verlander.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the resume now of a DeGrom.
Right.
So he's had two really good years. I think it was 2015 and again this last season with the Astros. Is that enough to say this is my guy long term that I want to pay $29 million a year for the next five?
It's one of those bird in the hand versus two in the bush. Do you think you could go out and get a guy to come to Houston for that money to replace Gerrit Cole if you lose him? I guess to answer the question, first of all, if I have to debate about it this long, no, I probably don't give him almost $30 million a year. I would pay the guy. I would give him a lot of money. But I don't know, like you said, on the track record that he has, if he's worth that. You'd be paying him on trying to win a Cy Young going forward, and I'd rather give him money on a couple of 3 years where he should have won a Cy Young and didn't, right? But I don't even know if I'm Gerrit Cole, if I want to talk extension at this point.
See, that's the thing,
as
too.
As well as it's going for me right now, if I'm Gerrit Cole, I'll just wait. I'm going to test the market. Everybody else, like you look at guys, and yeah, they're getting deals and they're getting money, but there's no bidding war.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, other key variables, because I'm with you. You, if you're the Astros, based on, and they're obviously very analytical, if you're thinking that this is the norm for this guy and with your lineup and the fact you're going to stay competitive and the guys you've already gotten under contract, that he is going to be a workhorse for you, you may be lucky to get him at 29, because the thing is, his agent is Scott Boras. So you know there's not going to be any discounts. There's not going to be any, hey, I really like to be in Houston kind of deals, because we already lived that going all the way back to the first go-around with Beltran. So you know that that's not going to be a factor in your favor. And the other thing is, like you said, if he goes out and has a Cy Young year, if he has a DeGrom-like campaign, if he puts that first skin on the wall of a big-time award and shows that he's got that going for him too, you may be talking about Verlander money and more.
Yeah.
If he hits the open market. So it's a catch-22, but which way you leaning? You're already showing your hand in the fact that you're open to extensions for guys that are still under team control and extensions for guys that you don't want to lose control of. I would be kicking the tires on what you could do.
So I pulled up Garrett Cole on SpotTrack. They have his value at $23 million. I'm good with that.
Yeah, if you get him at 23, it'd be great.
$29, $30 million, I don't know if I would pay that yet. If he won the Cy Young this year, where do I sign? Here's my money. Take it. Take it all.
Yeah.
But he hasn't yet. And the one good year that he had with the Pirates in 2015, it was good. The reason the anomaly sticks out to you from last year is 12.4 strikeouts per nine innings. He's never doing that again.
Yeah, you look at his strikeout numbers. That, he had almost
nine. Nine was his best. Nine
but he had
nine.
Almost 100 more strikeouts than his best. It was like 86 more strikeouts than he ever had in the past over his entire career last season.
Well, that's what I'm saying. His strikeouts per nine, his best year ever was 2014. He averaged nine strikeouts per nine innings last year, 12.4. That's a significant jump in
no
one
doubt.
Year. You got to do that a couple more years to make me believe that you can do that every year, when, in fact, before that, you were 8-7, 7-6, 8-7, and 9. That's a significant jump, man.
No doubt about it. So. But, again, do you feel like with your analytics department, with Brent Strom, with all the different variables that you bring to the table, can you use that as a bargaining chip and say, hey, you stay with us and you continue to do what you're doing, and then your next contract, because you're still young enough,
yeah,
may be another big one for you. But, look, you want to be a part. And the other thing is what we talked about, what Verlander talked about. The locker room is
right.
A very
– it's
it a
here.
Rare situation that is in a very good place. You got a great bunch of guys. You're set up to win for the long haul. As Verlander even said, the minor league system is prepared to be stacked up in case you need to use it, either bringing the young guys up or using them in trades. So it's a very good environment coming from a Pittsburgh environment where he did nothing but lose. Maybe this is something that sways him over the top, but hopefully they get something done, as I wrote about, before the season ends. Because if he hits the open market and he has the season that you're telling me people are projecting, you could be seeing that price tag go through the roof.
Yeah, yeah, he was the sexy pick from when I started researching, you know, players and everything else, and you start looking at preseason awards and all that. A lot of folks feel like Garrett Cole is gonna win the Cy Young. I want him to pay, but I do like the idea. Now, if he met in the middle, if you're saying 30, which is what DeGrom got, and I'm seeing market value is 23. If he wanted to go 26 for 5 years, 4 years, I think I would do that.
I think it's almost a bargain based on when that contract expires.
Yeah, in 5 years, you're going to get the best 5 years out of Garrett Cole as far as age goes. He's what? How old is he now? He's 28. I mean, he's in his prime. You're going to get him for 5 years at 26. I'd probably do that.
So there you go.
But I wouldn't go more than 26.
Let us know what you think. I think they got to wrap up Garrett Cole. We'll see what happens. But either way, it's going to be very interesting because the Astros are primed for a run that starts this afternoon at 3 o'clock in Tampa as a great pitching matchup right off the bat. Snell and Verlander, two Cy Young top-shelf type pitchers going at it right from the get-go. So that should be a good time. Stop by and see us. I-10 in Kirkwood, Twin Peaks location. We're going to be here till 4 o'clock today talking about baseball, basketball, and a whole lot more. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow.
Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, continuing to roll on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from I-10 and Kirkwood, location of Twin Peaks. Come on out. The weather's beautiful, so they got a deck outside with plenty of screens. Inside, lots of TVs. They've got baseball galore going on right now. Astros set to start at 3 p.m. Special shout-out to our man Andre from Houston Fire Department, Station 78.
There you go.
Shout-out to all of Station 78 as well, but Andre making sure to stop by and say he loves the show.
Thanks, Andre, for his service.
Yes.
Desert Storm vet. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Shout-out to Michael for coming out. He said he would. He said he'd be here. He showed up. They won't turn the speaker on so he can hear it. But damn it, he's here.
We
probably
gave him the
missing
first
the
shout out, and he wanted us to do it again because he couldn't hear it the first time. So that's the way we cater to our listeners.
Look, a peek behind the curtain. It does sometimes actually suck to come out and hang out because you can't hear the show. If you really want to hear the show, either bring an earphone and plug it in and listen on the app, or just deal with it and go get drunk at the bar like Crystal Collins does.
Crystal Collins, yeah.
But otherwise, it's not always glamorous to come and listen when they have games and everything else on and the speaker down. But
Crystal Collins did, by the way, tell me when I walked by her during the last break, tell Barry I need that thing back by about 5:30. So whatever you got to do with it, she said make sure you get it done by 5:30.
But I will say, I don't want to discourage you from coming out because we do get to hang and talk, and you get to hand me penis bottle openers if that's your thing, and whatever.
Shots.
So get a no, no.
I'm just
no
talking
shots.
About in the past. Last week.
Okay.
During our two visits to the other Twin Peak locations, we had tons of suspects.
Fireball shots.
Tons of
that
people
spilled on
purchasing
your
shots and all kinds of fun and games goodies.
If you want to see the penis bottle opener that Crystal Collins gave me, I've tweeted it out. At Barry is funny. I don't know what to think about it. Someone said, is this why Thanos was collecting all the jewels? It was this for the Infinity Penis. I mean, kinda. That kinda does look like the Infinity Penis.
You're spending a lot of time studying it, so I'm gonna leave that.
It's
if you
a
need
gift.
Some private time, I'm sure they've
it's
got stalls
gift.
In the bathroom. Where you can,
it's
they have a family
gift.
Bathroom. You can take that and examine it closely in the family bathroom and do what you got to do.
It's a gift. I mean,
it's
grow
gonna
up.
Be a gift.
Grow up,
it's
Joel.
It's going to be a gift.
Grow up, Joel.
El Jefe is going to have a
field
day.
At least I'm mature
day.
On this show.
When did that start? We turn over a new leaf and change roles or something? I don't know when that happened.
Yeah, I did notice you're the sassy one now.
A little
I don't
bit,
know.
Yeah.
You stole my thunder.
I'm stealing
you're
everything from you.
You're
out here calling me out on Twitter stealing. So I'm fine. Then I'm going to be a thief. Who cares?
Yeah. I like yesterday that Courtney called you out, too. She's like, he just said what you said. I was like, yeah, that's Joel. Like, that's what we've done now. We've taken each other's thing. Although I can't do your impressions, so that pisses me off.
You can.
No, I don't.
Just give us a little
good.
Morgan Freeman.
You, I got Come on. I hate you so much.
It's better than anything 790 does on it. I mean, you got this.
Somebody wants to know, do they have the MLB package here? Can I watch the Cardinals game? Yes.
Yep.
In fact, we're watching the Cardinals game.
Yes, we are.
You missed a fist pump from Joel as the Cardinals went up 4-3. So that happened.
No, they didn't. The Brewers were
I
up
mean,
4-3.
The Brewers went up 4-3.
Yeah.
My bad. Yeah, so it's here. That's a fair ball.
And that's an out. That means the Brewers, through five, are continuing to lead the Cardinals 4-3. So I'm very happy.
Are you not going to give Josh Rapp a suck it?
Hey, Rapp, suck it!
There
Brewers
you go.
Are up 4-3 after five. It's official. At least if it rains, and it's not because the roof is shut.
Somebody texted the show and said, may we talk about wrestling?
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll step out. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know if this is a holdover text from Booker T's show, but...
Well, he did give out his cell phone, so...
No, he gave out the station's number for texts, and we've been getting a ton of wrestling texts ever since then.
Is it the fact that the WWE main event for the first time is going to have women competing?
All three
in the
women, right?
The biggest matches of the night.
Ronda Rousey
right. And
I don't know
sure.
who else.
I don't know.
The Fabulous Moolah and
Cytheria. Well, she's a porn star. I don't know. Wrestler, porn star, whatever.
Janine.
I mean, you know. Yeah, Janine.
Tina Jameson. I was going to say China, but she's dead, and that would be inappropriate.
That would you don't be very inappropriate.
That would, also, that'd be pretty badass.
It's a hologram.
That'd be a
It's a hologram, like the Prince
China
concert.
Hologram, like Tupac.
That too.
Yeah, that would be great. So if you want to talk wrestling, 713-212-5790.
Wow. That was fantastic. And then when he looks at the lights, he's going to go, we're getting all these calls on wrestling. What should we do?
What is going on right now? Absolutely, if you want to talk wrestling, 713-212. Oh, God.
5-7.
Oh, goodness, nope.
So we've got a busy day ahead of us. We got Astros at 3. We've got the first games of the Sweet 16 around 6-ish. Rockets at 7. So, and then obviously the Sweet 16 games will take you all the way through till about 11 o'clock tonight. Texas Tech tonight against Michigan. That is a dandy.
It is.
Two Texas schools still alive in the Sweet 16. That's always great. Fairweather fan Crystal Collins, a Cowboys fan, also now suddenly has Texas Tech gear on, but that's a big game.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. We've got a lot of listeners that are Tech fans.
In my uneducated opinion, I'll just say Tennessee and Oregon move on.
Really?
Yeah.
Tennessee and Oregon both move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not playing each other.
All right.
You're
going to stay away from the you're going to stay away from the Michigan-Texas Tech game?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about those teams. I don't. Let's be honest.
Do you think Oregon's going to beat Virginia?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I do.
How much money do you want to put on that?
I'm just saying that was my underdog pick to get to the Final Four was Oregon.
You didn't pick any underdogs. You took all.
I'm saying off outside of the bracket. Yeah, I went off chalk for the bracket, but I'm just saying in general.
I don't mind even with my Big Ten ties. I don't mind your Tennessee pick over Purdue. I think Oregon's run ends tonight.
Really? Because everyone is talking how bad Virginia was. They didn't deserve the one seed. And now all of a sudden, you think they deserve the one seed? You yourself said of the 4-1 seeds, Virginia didn't deserve to be there. They didn't belong in there.
I didn't
and
say
now
that.
Now you're buying into Virginia?
I never said that about Virginia.
A lot of people have.
I said that they're susceptible because they're a good defensive team. But when they come to the tournament, for one, Bennett has not had a lot of success. And two, if the three ball's not falling, they are vulnerable. But overall, Oregon had a great run. They were the hot team. I heard people talk.
It ain't over.
I think it is. But regardless, nevertheless, they lost your boy Bol Bol.
Okay. They don't need Bol Bol. They got better after they lost Bol Bol.
So you get better when you lose Bol Bol. They came back. They did a lot of damage not only in the Pac-12 tournament, but also here in the tournament now. But I think they're going to face a team that they haven't seen before in terms of the suffocating defense Virginia can put on them. And if they're making their threes, they got two guys that can really play, probably will play on the next level shooting threes. That could be a problem for them.
Talk to the hand.
All right.
Give me Gonzaga, and I'll go ahead and take Tech as well.
That's another game that could be upset. Yeah. Florida State's got a legitimate shot against Gonzaga.
I'll take Gonzaga, Tennessee, Tech, and Oregon moving on. But my bracket is just whoever's the highest.
Right.
Whoever's the highest seed.
And let me tell you something. And those are
and you
are
know what?
Good games.
They said after the first two rounds that this was the favorites really performed better than usual in this year's March Madness, in this year's bracket, in this year's tournament. So
well, that's why
because,
for the first time
I knew what
ever,
I was doing.
There's a perfect bracket.
That's
going
still crazy.
Into the Sweet 16. There is one bracket.
Wow.
I believe it's in the ESPN Bracket Challenge. There's one bracket that's perfect. The kicker is that has a lot of people interested from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
They pick Kentucky to win it all, which would mean they beat the Cougs.
Ooh.
So that's what makes that one interesting.
That person's dumb. We don't like that.
When you think about that, if they could win that challenge and pick every flipping game right in that entire tournament,
that's legit.
And it's never been done before,
that is
the
legit.
Odds of that happening, man, that's absolutely crazy. The other thing is, boy, I hope Tillman Petita still got plenty of deep pockets because with every single minute that passes, Kelvin Sampson's getting offer after offer, and the price tags are going up.
Yeah.
And as much as he likes Houston and he's got his whole family and all the things we've highlighted about him being happy to be with the Cougs, there is a legitimate chance now that they could lose him at the end of the year.
I know you're excited.
Is that the pitcher? That's Chassin.
Yes.
Chassin just hit a home run.
Well, Chassin just went deep.
Yep.
Brewers pitching is out there hitting home runs.
It's the way we do it.
Wow. So, Brewers are World Series champs.
Right now. Book it. Write it in.
Oh, that's good stuff.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Kelvin Sampson, what happens, especially
if
they win again tonight. Because, look,
He ain't going nowhere.
His old AD is at Arkansas. They're already talking about that. But who wants to go to Arkansas?
Nobody. He ain't going nowhere.
The only thing that's going to get Sampson away from the U of H is, like in Arkansas, you'd have to do exactly what you did at U of H. Build more facilities, build a new practice facility, upgrade all these things. Stuff he's already done and doesn't want to do again.
Yeah.
But if a big-time program comes calling that's been down a little bit, you got to be careful. You better hope, like I said, Tillman's got the money to wrap him up.
We'll see.
Lots
I think he likes it here.
About.
He said he likes it here.
Yeah.
And he said
hope,
he likes that his,
and let's hope that's
his
the case.
Because yeah.
Tom Herman showed you that he could say he likes a lot of places.
True, true, true.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, text us, 713-780-3776, or hit us on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Yo, turn me up in the headphones.
Like that?
Yeah.
This is an ESPN 97.5 road show. Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Big Clarence is in the house as we continue to roll on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from Twin Peaks, I-10 in Kirkwood location. It's opening day, people. It is a big day in the big city. The Astros getting ready to take on the Tampa Bay Rays starting at about 3 o'clock. You've got the Sweet 16 starting tonight, the Rockets and the Nuggets already games on. So why not join us here at Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views, and a whole lot of sports on TV. We already mentioned a lot of the suspects in the house. Clarence just got here.
Yep.
So the party and festivities can continue.
Collins, Michael's here.
Michael, Ashton, three mentions in one show. That's enough.
Ashton Lewis is in the building. Well, he was.
Ashton
I don't know
had to leave.
Yeah.
He had a jousting tournament.
It's not jousting.
Whatever it's called.
It's Quidditch.
That he's got a just Quidditch. Quidditch.
I knew.
Quidditch tried to tell me it's something other than jousting.
Quidditch sounds like quit it, bitch. Like if you just
which
combine
I can say
them,
too. But
like if
at
you
the
just
same
combine
time.
Them, like it's Quidditch. Dan Severn got out of the inning, so for the Cardinals. Let's talk a little bit about this rule change in the NFL.
Let's do
we
it.
Didn't get to it yesterday because we had everything else going on. But your thoughts on the fact that now teams can review or have reviewed pass interference calls or non-calls for pass interference.
So
what are your thoughts?
So here's my thing. So,
okay.
So the first initial reaction was, please don't let this be where the coaches can challenge and challenge and challenge during the middle of the game, because it's just going to slow the game down. And part of being in the NFL or any football game is referees are going to make judgment calls. You don't want to slow the game down any further. The fact that it's the final 2 minutes, the fact that the coaches have to use a challenge flag and or the booth reviews are going to be the ones that challenge the interference plays. As long as they get the call right, it's the most important thing. The best answer I saw on all of this was from Mike Greenberg, who said, if you look at a review once and it's that obvious that you need to change it, change it. If you have to keep looking at it, then let it go to whatever was called on the field, because it's going to take too long and it's going to slow down the game.
I'm just going to say this because maybe I'm the only one that feels this way, but
all right.
I don't care if it takes a few extra seconds or a minute to get the call right. I don't know why people get so like, I need this game to be over now. Like, what the hell are you doing, fat boy, on a Sunday? You're just laying around in your underwear drinking beer anyways. What's your rush? Why do we, I need this going. Now, like Van Gundy was losing his mind the other night during a basketball game. Oh, they're reviewing it again? Yeah, coach, sorry they want to get it right. Sorry they don't want anyone to be cheated out of a result because you're in a hurry to get off work. And I love Van Gundy, but the complaining about all this taking too long, if it was 15 minutes, okay, that's too long. But what's a minute and a half in a three-hour game to make sure that the call was right? And I'm not just talking pass interference. I'm talking any call. I'm kind of tired of hearing people bitch and complain, not you specifically, but it's the become the narrative. Whenever replay,
I said to you, the main thing is to get the call right. I totally agree with
whenever
you.
Whenever replay comes up in any sport, baseball, basketball, football, everyone's initial and immediate take is, it's going to take too long. Where are you going? You're watching sports. You're not in a meeting in a business. I mean, like, who cares? It's 30 extra seconds. And you take two sips, go pee, fart, scratch your balls, come back. We have the correct call on the field.
Okay, so where are you on all this?
I think it's great. And I told Fred on Friday when this initially hit, I think anything should be reviewable, but you still only get the two challenges. And I'm talking at any point in the game because the bottom line is to get it right, and it is everything. If there's a missed hold, if there's a missed obvious crackback block.
But here's what
missed,
I like, okay?
If there's a hold on a touchdown run that's not called and you lose the game on that touchdown run, is it not okay to go back and review that and say, well, that hold is what sprung the running back, which lost you the game. That should be overturned.
But I'm saying if it's a big play, if it's like the spot on a 2nd and 7,
okay, but why? So what? It's their challenge. What does that bother you? If you're going to waste a challenge on the spot on a 2nd and 7 when you're down by 50,
so are you saying if you use that challenge and you win it, you get another one again?
That's the rules,
man. Barry,
so you
the
get
games
one
are gonna,
extra challenge.
Noon games are going to be over at 7 o'clock.
No, they're not. You get three challenges anyways.
You know that Belichick and certain coaches are going to get off on this.
No.
And they're going to continue to use them.
What's the difference in using two challenges on a spot versus an interference call or anything else? You still are using the challenges.
But like I said, I believe
the number of challenges.
The pass interference reviews can only happen in the final 2 minutes of each half.
Which is also dumb. Are you telling me that a pass interference in the final 2 minutes isn't as important as a pass interference that could have caused a touchdown, a game-winning touchdown in the third quarter?
I bring that up to tell you that I think that the reason why they did that was because they were concerned, whether right or wrong, because we just heard what you said. But whether right or wrong, they were concerned about length of time it would take if there was challenges throughout the game that could continually be renewed if you got the call right. You know,
all this is reactionary on the part of the NFL. This is the NFL
no
saying,
about it.
Hey, sorry, Saints, we screwed you out of a Super Bowl appearance. So here's a rule that could make you feel better that, you know what, in the last 2 minutes, okay, that's when the game's important. So the other 58 minutes of the game don't matter? If a pass interference occurred in the third quarter, which put a team up by 7 and that team wins by 7, is that pass interference not as important as the one in the last 2 minutes? I think that last 2 minutes thing is stupid.
But that's what
it should be reviewable anytime.
That's what we're talking about, though. We're talking about just the final 2 minutes. We're talking about the reviews, the coaches' reviews, and or the booth reviews. That's when they'll try and get it. I think there's going to be controversy on either way because, of course, if they have to over-scrutinize, did he have his hands on him? Was it affecting the catch or the ability to defend the pass? It's going to happen. But you're right. It's totally reactionary. And the other thing is because the NFL took so much extra scrutiny because of the time it took for them to react, one, in any way, shape, or form in that Saints-Rams game. Then when they did react, they didn't react right the first time. And we know that the NFL, under this current regime, has done nothing but screw things up and have no consistency, so they felt like they had to make a statement because of one game that obviously was of a large enough magnitude that it shook the football world.
It's very reactionary, but again, I mean, if you disagree with me or think I'm wrong, tell me that, but I don't understand what's the difference in opening up anything to be reviewable. It doesn't extend the game. If I get two reviews plus a third one if I'm right on both, That's no matter what is reviewable, that's still my option. Now, if you were to say, okay, anything's reviewable and you get two reviews per quarter, okay, now you're getting crazy. But if you stick with the same 2 plus 1, you can use it at any time. I can still use those at any time anyways.
Yeah, my big thing is the objective is, was, and always should be you need to get the call
1,000% right.
That's what I'm worried about because obviously they didn't get it right in the Saints-Rams game. But there was plenty more examples that we could go. Matter of fact, when the competition committee was meeting, which, again, from the NFL standpoint, keep everything under lock and key in that room. Because I don't know if you heard this or not, but what came out of it was that the Rams were interfered with and had pass interference going in on the goal line, and that should have been called, and that would have changed everything in the Super Bowl. That just is a whole other can of worms.
Yeah.
Now people are going, well, what the heck are you guys doing?
Well, and here's the thing, what I don't understand, too, is if the fact that they're doing this in a reactionary way by saying, oh, well, pass interference is what cost the game, the Saints the game and a trip to the Super Bowl. So let's make a rule to cover that. But what happens next time when, here's a great scenario, Tom Brady drops back, throws a pass, touchdown, game over, or I should say this, throws an interception, it's returned for a touchdown. But during the play, the referee rules that it was, roughing the passer.
Play that happened. Brady, they called roughing touched. The passer.
Why shouldn't I be able to review that?
And replay shows the defensive lineman never hit him in the head.
So why shouldn't I be able to review that if that cost me and my team the game? Anything should be reviewable at least once if that's important to me. If it could cost you the game. Because what's going to happen is now the NFL is going to be in this mode of chasing calls. Like, I guarantee you, if there's a touchdown run that wins a game to go to the Super Bowl or in the Super Bowl and a hold was missed, guess what we're going to get in a rules meeting next time? Oh, now you can call it on holding in the last 2 minutes. That's just stupid, man. It should just be whatever.
No doubt about it.
I know I'm in the minority on this, but I don't care.
No, and like I said, I think the main thing is just get the call right, but I think it is. Because it was reactionary, it doesn't cover nearly enough of what should be covered if you're going to do something like that.
My boy Connor Hogan said, it's funny that fans think reviews are a waste of time in the NFL and not the hour and a half worth of commercials. Amen on that. You know an NFL game is 60 minutes long.
No doubt.
But they spend 3 hours.
Yep.
So you tell me who's wasting whose time.
Well, we're not wasting yours because we're here and you are, and that means that it's our time, and we're going to continue to roll on with it. It's the second hour of The Usual Suspects leading up till 4 o'clock where we'll turn it over to the Blitz. But until then, it's Barry, it's me, it's I-10 in Kirkwood, it's Twin Peaks, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink. Go to culturemap.com. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through The Usual Suspects on a Thursday, coming to you live from Twin Peaks, I-10 in Kirkwood. Great spot to stop on by if you're looking for a place to watch all the games today. Opening day for the Astros, getting ready to start up here in about 15 minutes. It's going to be here.
Yeah.
You can watch it as the Astros are in Tampa to take on the Rays. If you want to watch some March Madness tonight, everybody's going to be here to watch those games, the Rockets and the Nuggets. Lots of sports to be had. You can see us till 4. You can see Barry till 7. He's going to be standing on tables signing 8.5 by 10 glossies with a Sharpie until they run out, which means he may be here till tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be at the Twin Peaks location in Shenandoah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate your support. Joel, you and Jeremy.
I'm here for you, man.
Part of my hating ass people's crew. I was trying to see if there was any text. So somebody asked, could we get Booker T as a guest? I don't see why we couldn't.
Yeah.
He's at our station now. He's one of us.
But
he's on the team.
That came from the same person that wanted wrestling talk, I'm sure.
No, that the wrestling talk question was from the 919 area code. I don't even know where that is.
Where's that?
I have no idea. I'm going to guess in the South because they love wrestling in the South.
Okay. They love wrestling in Houston. They love wrestling at our station. There's Ken Hoffman, Brandon, Tubbsy, Jose. They're all wrestling freaks. Do they know it's fake?
I think everyone's in on it now. I think everyone knows. I don't think there's...
Like, Charles Barkley's in denial. He just doesn't want to know. And if you mention it to him, he gets really upset.
Does he really?
Yes.
But he knows, but he just gets mad when you tell him. But he knows.
Ken Hoffman's here.
So I think... See, don't start doing that.
I did.
I know, but that does... See?
Plus, he's colorblind. He's wearing a Keuchel jersey, and he's wearing a U of H hat. It's like, you can't match that up.
He's supporting
both teams.
He's from
Wisconsin. Only Wisconsin people mismatch their colors.
He's supporting both teams today.
Cougars play tomorrow. You're welcome.
Next. But he's still here for opening day and wanted to show his love for the Cougs. He's Cougan them.
All get right. Cougar drawers. Then you don't have to show the real world.
Well, that's true. I did
the
wear my Astro. I wore my Astro socks today to go with my Astros shirt.
Okay.
Yeah, they're fancy.
We both have Astro shirts on.
I know. They're fancy. Like that? Look at that. Look at that. What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with Barry about getting it right, but what if they allow challenges for holds? You could bring back any play. Well, guess what? If it's a hold and and that play was important enough to you, it's the same example I gave. If there was a touchdown run that ends up being the game-winning score and you could have challenged it and brought it back because of an obvious hold,
hey, we're back now. We're having
sorry,
all
man.
Kinds
we're
of fun
We're doing
games
a show here.
Having lots of fun. Twin Peaks, I-10 Kirkwood location. We'll be here till 4 today, then tomorrow. Shenandoah. What? Barry's neighborhood?
Yeah. The place to be. The
is
best.
It though, Barry? Is it really?
I mean, it's all right.
Look.
It's not as trafficy as
Katie. For
the amount
of time that you drive.
There's not as much traffic as Katie, I'll tell you
that. Living where
you
live.
Yeah.
I will give you the fact that we should at least be in your hood every now and then so
okay.
that you don't have to drive like
I appreciate that. I appreciate the love. Ooh, damn it, Joel. I'm excited. They're showing pictures
close.
Of Springer on deck, pine tarring up the bat. It's my favorite time
Verlander
of year.
Verlander in the bullpen getting loose.
I like it.
We're getting ready for baseball.
I like it. It's a good time to be alive.
How about they got McCullers? He's going to be in uniform all year just hanging out with the team?
I could see that.
They just showed him in the pen.
I could see that. He wants to be there. He wants to be around those guys. What on earth is that?
Obviously, a lot of people getting a little excited about the first pitch coming for opening day and the fact that you're Stros. I love the fact that now when we go home at night, there's guaranteed to be something
on
TV.
Oh, my God, yes. You are so right about that.
Yeah.
By the way, if you didn't hear the lineup for the Astros for this opening day, George Springer leading off, playing right field, Altuve at second, hitting second, Bregman third, hitting third. Does it surprise you all that Bregman's the three-hitter?
That's for you to discuss with your Facebook followers. I'm not getting into all that.
Michael Brantley playing left field, hitting fourth.
I love that.
Yuli Gurriel hitting fifth, playing first base. Tyler White DHing. Robinson Chirinos is catching. Aledimus Diaz at shortstop, hitting eighth. And then Jake Mariznick in center field, hitting ninth. If you missed some names, yes, Josh Reddick is out. He will not play. And Carlos Correa also out.
What's Reddick's problem?
I would have to look it up. He had some back soreness?
Okay, it's nothing too serious.
No, I don't believe it is. Correa's day-to-day with the neck stiffness. Joe Smith out on the 10-day injured list. They have Lance on the 10-day list, but...
Zerline?
No,
McCullers.
What? Zerline. so there's your starting lineup. Obviously, Justin Verlander on the mound against Blake Snell. I'm going to say it right now. Blake Snell is not going to have a good year.
I'm with you. We were talking about
you talk about past performance.
Garrett Cole
yep.
and a one-year deal, and he's got to continue to show that he can continue to do it. I think it's more pressing that a guy like Blake Snell has to do something like that because he's playing. We were talking, just a few weeks ago about the fact that Blake Snell and Alex Bregman got such minimal raises based on the kind of seasons that they had. The difference is Bregman plays for an organization where they took care of it. They did something that was kind of unheard of in baseball, but they did the right thing for the player and for the organization going forward, and they extended Bregman. Tampa Bay is not that franchise.
I think they gave him.
They gave him some. Did they? Did it get? The bottom line is, I would be more concerned with Snell than I would be Bregman in terms of who's going to have the more consistent career going forward.
Yeah, they did. They extended him. They gave him a 5-year, $50 million contract. They didn't pay crazy.
Yeah, because I was going to say, they didn't give, when they finally got it done, they didn't give the type of money that we were talking about with Cole, Verlander, or others. But again, he hasn't really proven
year
it except
three,
for 1 year.
Year three, he won the Cy Young, but his first 2 years, ERAs of 3.54 and 4.04, had a losing record in both years. I mean, out of nowhere, wins 21 games and has a sub-2 ERA, so that's great. I don't know. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to maintain. I might be wrong. But I just don't expect it this year.
I agree with you. Okay. I tend to agree with you. So it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. But, again, we just got going. The Astros are just getting ready to go, and Springer's in the box. So we'll continue to update you on that as we continue to roll on because you know if you want Astros coverage, the best is right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call in. Turn to the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.